Thursday, June 1st, 2017. This is the Hermetic Hour. I'm your host, Poke Runyon, and tonight we present a discussion on the current magical phenomenon of Pepe the Frog. Pepe, as most of us are aware, is a meme, an iconic symbol like the smiley face, which was taken over by the anti-progressive political forces during the last presidential campaign. Originally created as a pogo-type character in a counterculture internet comic book, Pepe escaped into public domain and was used on the internet as a humorous joke platform until he was captured by the Donald Trump supporters in the fall of 2016. Since then, Pepe has developed a mythology based on the ancient Egyptian frog god Kek or Kark, and a philosophy of primordial chaos or anarchy, and a nation of his own, Kekistan, with a history and a worldwide diaspora much like Judaism. It has a national anthem, Chatelet, and a green and black flag that looks like it came off of a Nazi U-boat. The magic behind Pepe's turn to the right came from Cornelius Agrippa's natural magic, duck powder creates frogs, and was implemented by Hillary Clinton when she ordered adult-sized Donald Duck costumes to be fabricated and then sent her ducks out against Donald Trump. Trump retaliated by capturing Pepe and adding the frog to his own crew of deplorables, again using one of Hillary's creations against her. She confirmed Pepe's transformation into a right-wing bigot on a national television, and even though Pepe's cartoonist creator killed him off, millions of devout Kekistanis throughout the World Wide Web would not let him die. We'll be joined tonight by deep internet lurker Frater Sithneth as we delve into the magical mysteries of Pepe the Frog. Are you there? Are you there, Frater Sithneth?
Am I here?
Oh, you're there. Yeah, I hear you. Hang on a second. I got to read something about cooking the frog here first, and then we'll get into it.
All right.
Well, yeah, but before we get too deep into this very deep subject, I would like to remind all of you of the classic frog in the pot story. And you know how it goes. If you put a live frog into a pot of comfortably warm water and very slowly bring the heat up, the frog will become so lethargic that you can eventually boil him to death. Now, he will not hop out of the pot. This has been used as a political analogy for the fate of the American middle class under our increasingly socialist government. How many times have we heard the American frog has been cooked? This analogy has been so effective that the political progressives actually funded scientific research to discredit the original 19th century live frog boiling experiments. They now claim to have laboratory proof that frogs will not allow themselves to be slowly cooked to death, and by inference, the American middle class analogy is therefore invalid. This is, of course, the same progressively funded science that has established industry-induced global warming and climate change. However, in the matter of warming frogs, they may be correct, because in the year 2016, the American middle class and working class frog jumped out of the pot. Now, let me mention something about that before we go any further. Back in the 1920s, the Bolsheviks adopted the biological evolutionary pseudoscience of a man named Lamarck, and they thought that they could breed tailless mice by chopping the tails off of their laboratory mice. Of course, they couldn't. They tried. They detailed a lot of mice, but they couldn't produce a tailless mouse that way. Now this of course is this is the kind of the philosophical pseudo Darwinism that lies behind brainwashing, and it lies behind political correctness, and the same thing that lies behind the attempt to disprove the frog in the pot story. It was all based on this guy Lamarck, who was wrong. But they have been trying to do this, as I say, political correctness is a Lamarckian project. Now, I'm not trying to say that the internet meme Pepe the Frog exclusively represents the American middle class or working class or any specific social or political group. But he has come to represent a rebellion against the system or the establishment in 1960s jargon. And since the 1960s, that establishment has become more socialistic, more corrupt, and more repressive than in any period in our history. The 2016 presidential election was a rebellion against weaponized altruism, the tyranny of social compassion, the terrorism of diversity, the larceny of egalitarianism, and the mind control of political correctness. Americans of all classes, races, and religions, and even liberals, said, "Enough!" In the immortal words of Howard Beale, they went to the polls and they declared, "We're mad as hell and we won't take it anymore." They needed a popular culture icon for a symbol, and they adopted one, Pepe the Frog. Writer Sipmeth and I will try to cover how this happened and explore the many and varied themes and synchronicities underlying Pepe's gestalt. How did he get started? How was he developed? How was he politicized, and what are the mythological, occult, numerological, and allegorical fantasy spin-offs of the Keck connection? Okay, Frater Sipmeth, you want to take off here? Let's talk about Pepe's origin and his background.
I would be happy to.
Go ahead.
Well, the background of Pepe the Frog was rather simple. As it is. It's a little strange, absurd picture of a green cartoon frog that was used. I'm not certain when it was first used. It had to have been only a couple of years ago, maybe. Not that long ago, as far as I can tell.
2005. 2005.
Oh, really? 2005.
Yeah.
Oh, that's when it was created, yeah. But he was
created by Matt Fury in Boys Club Comics.
He was used online pretty regularly on the image sharing board known as 4chan. If you see a meme on Facebook or on Reddit or Tumblr or wherever you might see any of these things, it's inevitably had its birth in the backwaters of 4chan.org, which is a fairly notorious website. Essentially because it's an absolute free port of ideas. Anything, and I mean almost anything, is shared on 4chan, which is why it's so notorious. It's not quite as insidious as, say, the dark web or the deep web or something along those lines, but you can certainly find ways of getting to the deep and dark web through 4chan. And it was on there on a board, I think, as an image message sharing board. There are many of them, and they come in different categories. I think at the time it was either shared on the random board, which was filled with all kinds of, you know, anything random. That doesn't fit on any of the other boards, whether about origami or weapons or pornography or things like that, which might be shared on the website. But there was another board which has been around for a while called Politically Incorrect, or POL, and they regularly used Pepe the Frog essentially just as a kind of ablative mockery of anything and everything in the different kinds of Pepe which would appear. So they would alter Pepe, evolve Pepe, so that he would look like a Hitler Pepe or a KKK Pepe or a scheming Jew Pepe or something they wanted to mock, whether that would be the alt or the right wing or the left wing or any exclusive or identifiable group. Anything you could make into a stereotype, a version of Pepe has been designed for that. For no other purpose, really, than that it can be, that it's a kind of smug mockery of all, of everything and anything. I don't know if you wanted to say anything.
Before the Czech thing, we had the laughing out loud connection, and then there was something about this war game.
The Great Moon War.
Yeah. Well, laughing out loud, that expression, the way I understand it, it equals kek in Korean, and which kek in Korean means laughing out loud, and somehow the Fortran, didn't it start with the Fortran people? They started using kek in lieu of in the same category as laughing out loud.
It seemed to be, kek, K-E-K, as people who have sort of followed internet memes up to present know, I mean, other than LOL, everyone knows LOL, the laugh out loud. Many years ago, the LOL seems to evolve into like L-U-L, like lulls, L-U-L-Z. At one point it was evolved into just L-E-L. I don't actually know why it did that, came L-E-L. And the Korean, in manga and Japanese and Korean, the English versions, the English translations of manga, where someone is laughing, where we say ha 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 ha, they have ke 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 and K-E-K became the Korean and Japanese kind of LOL. And the same people who were using Pepe were also saying kek, because it's niche and it's fun and it's funny. And I don't know. I find it funny myself. I can't necessarily say why. And people were doing things for the lols, for the kek. And Pepe became associated with that, with Keck, along the way, because people would post him for the lols, for the Kecks.
I have a little piece here on the Egyptians, the Egyptian gods Kok or Kek. You know, the reason why they have a Kok or Kek is because vowels in ancient Egyptian, you can kind of put them wherever you want them. So, according to this, it says, Kok or Kek or Keku was one of the oldest Egyptian gods in ancient Egyptian history. It is the deification of the primordial concept of darkness. The name Kok means darkness. The god of darkness, of chaos, before the creation was begun. Kok has no gender, but has the aspect that can represent as either male or female. Kok is the male aspect, and Kauket is also known as Keket, is the female aspect. According to the myth, there was a watery mass of dark, directionless chaos, and it was the only thing that existed on Earth before there was land. And there were four frog gods and four snake goddesses who lived in this chaos. And they were four pairs of deities, Nun and Nunet and Amun and Amunet. Hauhet and Kok with Koket, which represents water, void, infinite time and darkness. This group of eight gods formed the Ogaddad. Then the very first land rose out of Nun in the form of a mound. Kok appearance portrayed as a man with the head of a frog or as a frog itself. Coquette's appearance portrayed as a woman with the head of a snake or a snake itself. Cuck represents darkness, obscurity, and night. However, although he was a god of darkness, he was also associated with the dawn and given the title of the Bringer of Light. And this Bringer of Light aspect has been touted as relating to Trump as the Bringer of Light with his very blonde hair. Anyway, that gives us the background, and I think this got started in that war game thing. That's where the kick aspect of it got going. But the thing that of course fascinates me and you in the magical area is all of the tria and the numerology that associated with Keck or Cuck. Can you want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, sure. As it comes to, like, you could read Gematria into it. Ultimately, a lot of the numbers that are associated with this come straight from 4chan. Whenever you post something on 4chan, your post will be given a number, and it's an 8-digit number. And for the lulz, for the fun of it, people would try to preemptively predict that their post would get a double number at the end of it or a triple number at the end of it. So there's 8 numbers, and they're not randomly generated. They're the numbers of the post. But people would try and get like doubles or triples or quads at the end of that number, so they'd have repeating numbers there. And you see in the generation and the association of Pepe with Keck, which was founded there, there were a lot of these double numbers. People pay attention to these double numbers. So when these numbers come up, it's almost like a little pin. You'd like to put a pin in it. Some people would just post entirely for the joy of trying to get a double, and many images and memes would be made for that purpose. The most famous of them is a picture of Christian Bale's character from American Psycho, who's pointing up to the corner of the screen, wearing the raincoat just before he axes the guy in the film. And that picture of him pointing up to the corner was used to say, "Hey, check out the double, check the dubs, check them," and they would try to preempt it. And whenever someone would get a double, they would say, "Hey, nice dubs, man," or "trips." They'd be like, "Wow, cool trips," or four. People would be like, "Yeah, cool. Of course, these are like absolute, you know, chant in many ways." But when it came to Keck and the association of Keck with Pepe, there were a lot of these. Like, there were a lot of these things. And the most interesting of them was when they realized that Keck was this ancient Egyptian frog god. And they had a thread on Poll, I believe it was. It was on Politically Incorrect Board on 4chan, where they had a picture of Keck, and there's the great god Keck. Whatever is said in this thread will be the truth. And people were trying to predict the outcome in the thread of the election. And there was two posts that the Keck, because getting into the 8 of them, so that's 70, so that was getting into the tens of millions. So we've got 77,770,000, 77,000. So we was getting 77,777. And there was one post, which if I can maybe bring it up here. One person attempted to predict that Hillary would win the election, and their post read, their post read something along the lines of, "There's power," here it is, where they say that there's power in sevens, there's magical power in sevens, and that they're going to use that, and they're going to make Hillary win, and their post was 777777667. Or 87, I can't remember, was one shy off. And then one person just posted, "Trump will win." And their post was all sevens. Just, And this just blew everyone's mind, because it was just, it was like the ultimate fortune telling, that someone was like, well, you know, the god Keck has ordained this because this is his thread, and there's all sevens, and Trump will win now. So the numerology in that, you could say in Gematria, we know that 777, which is fascinating, in Gematria, as I think Crowley used it for his Libra 777, is out of chaos. So order at chaos. And that has a lot of reference to do with Keck, the god Keck, order out of chaos, the bringer in of the light, the dark, which is chaos, and the light, which is order, and order out of chaos. 7-7, it's a lot of these synchronicities that happen with Keck and with Pepe being used in this way.
Absolutely. And it also, you know that we relate Keck to the seven plagues of Egypt, to the frog plague. And in fact, somebody's even done a little thing on the internet with taking a picture of a bunch of frogs hopping around in ancient Egypt and put peppy faces on them. and also, that's a funny one. And then it's in the Book of Revelations too, you know, the frogs. And I'd like to also mention a few more. These are synchronicities. And one of the things that we run into in magic all the time, because when you get right down to it, magical psychology is Jungian. It's not, it is Freudian and Jungian. So much of these, Jung came up with the idea of synchronicities, where all these things are related because of various connections. And then the diabolical magician Kenneth Grant, the late Kenneth Grant, he's the one that talked about tangential tantrums, and these are synchronicities that break off from things, definitely there's a lot of tangential tantrums in the Pepe thing. When in the beginning of this, in the abstract, we said that Hillary Clinton and her duck suits had this was replicating a magical formula for creating frogs from Cornelius Agrippa, which Hillary Clinton ended up using when she decided. And by the way, Trump, to be correct ourselves, you know, we don't want to give the impression that this duck suit thing actually created Pepe or gave Pepe to Trump. He just put the cap on it. I'll explain how that happened. According to Cornelius Agrippa, and this is the first book, Natural Magic, if you want to make frogs, you powder a duck. Of course, you're going to kill the duck first. So you powder a duck, and then you sprinkle the duck powder on the pond, and that will generate tadpoles. Well, this is early, very early Lamarckian type stuff. But it's still a formula for creating frogs. So Hillary goes and steals Donald Duck. And she doesn't get without permission. And probably the reason why she stole it was because the Trump people or supporters were already using Pepe. And so she goes and steals Donald Duck from Disney without permission, which is a copyright violation, because Donald Duck. And Lauren says my duck talk is not that good, so I'll try again. Anyway, he's a copyrighted character. In fact, I shouldn't even be duck talking, you know, without Disney's permission. but anyway, so she didn't have Disney. She just went and grabbed Donald Duck, and probably because the Trumpers were already starting to use Pepe, and she had to have these duck suits made because they were all the duck suits available at the costume shops were all for children. And she had, you know, she regardless of Pizzagate, she wasn't going to exploit children out there in the demonstrations. So she had to have adult duck suits made. So she set her ducks against Trump, and that, even though Trump supporters were already using Pepe, that Trump, as a result of the ducks going against Trump, Donald Trump Jr. produced a what we used to call a cosmiograph. Now we just say it's photoshopped. He took the one sheet for the Expendables, it's a film, and put the deplorables, which was one of Hillary's, Hillary called Trump and his supporters a basket of deplorables. And so here are all these action heroes all lined up. And so Donald Trump Jr. cosmiographs the heads of all of the Trump supporters, and including Alex Jones and Yiannopoulos and all of them in the line with Donald, and they put Pepe right next to Donald Trump, just like Mary Magdalene being next to Jesus at the Last Supper, and then publishes this one sheet, and so we can say. Then Hillary comes out. At this point, Hillary comes out and publicly declares that Pepe is a right wing hate symbol, and so she brought this, in a sense, on herself. And this is the magic behind Pepe, Pepe becoming. Going to the right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, she brought out the Donald Ducks. She had a whole bunch of these Donald Ducks turning up to Trump rallies because they would hold signs saying, "Donald Ducks releasing his tax return." So it was trying to be clever, Donald Ducks releasing his tax return.
Yeah.
And so it was about the tax return. And on the day, though, one of the interesting synchronicities. Things which occurred, if that's the word, synchronicity, was that on the day that Hillary denounced Pepe as a hate symbol, she was struck down, so to speak. That was the day she had that collapse, I believe.
Talk about magic backfiring. Yeah.
So this just adds the fuel to the fire, this tech fire.
Yeah. Well, as I say, what comes around goes around. Anyway, we should mention a few more things. And I was very impressed. You suggested that I watch a YouTube on Professor Jordan Peterson and discussion. And I went from that one to one where he was hosted by. Joe Rogan on YouTube. Peterson, this Jordan Peterson is a wonderful. He's a Canadian PhD professor, and he goes around like Yiannopoulos. He goes around and gives talks at colleges, and he has been harassed just as bad as Milo, if not worse.
Although Milo deliberately tries to. The pot,
yeah.
Whereas Jordan Peterson is just a very, very brilliant principled philosopher at was it Toronto University, I think? I'm not sure. But he is truly, I could never recommend any contemporary philosopher really more highly, in my opinion,
he's really wonderful. And one of the things that he pointed out on the Joe Rogan show that I thought was really, really fascinating in this regard, he was talking about memes. And we all know, Pepe is a meme, but the NEA, the National Educational Agency, which Roosevelt put in power, and they ever since Roosevelt put them in power, when Roosevelt came in, he he was very cozy with the left, as we all know, and the NEA has been infiltrated by cultural Marxists ever since Roosevelt's time. And what Jordan Peterson showed us on that Joe Rogan show were memes. One of them is the gender unicorn, and then another one is the gingerbread person. And both these memes, kids' memes, are being used by kindergarten. They're being used to program kindergarten children to keep them away from gender bias. And Jordan Peterson, you know, showed these on the, you know, demonstrated these on and showed them on the Joe Rogan show. And so this kind of thing, you know, this using memes like this and using these sort of themes for propaganda and for brainwashing and all. This has been going on for a long time, and this is one of the things, as I think we both know, there are a lot of what we used to call liberals that are very much they may not have voted for Trump, but they sure didn't vote for Hillary, there are a lot of people that just plain can't stand political correctness. They don't. As Jordan Peterson points out, political correctness is attempting to it's a massive attempt to control our thoughts.
Well, yeah, I remember growing up. I remember growing up in the 90s. Political correctness. The idea of political correctness itself seemed, as I was growing up, to be simply a matter of trying to respect and include more and more groups. But as Jordan Peterson enunciated far more eloquently than I ever possibly could, conflates the movement of political correctness with cultural Marxism, which is something that he and a lot of people are very much against. The idea of this identity politic, which is, it's supposed to be a force for inclusion, but as we can see, it ends up being this kind of hierarchical exclusive force, which is tearing a lot of people and communities apart. This is a kind of the chaos which Professor Peterson often talks against. I mean, he's often he talks about a lot about the chaos and how you want to create order out of chaos. In chaos, the world of chaos, he certainly insists that people try and read Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago, and he says you should read that. That's one of the, if you even think of toying with postmodernism and nihilism and this cultural Marxism, you should read that and see what chaos, what this creates. Funnily enough, also on Jordan Peterson and on the memes, he was talking to Joe Rogan about Pepe and Tech and about these associations, and was blowing Rogan's mind. One of the things that wasn't brought up was people noticed, I kind of did too when I first listened to him, that Jordan Peterson's voice is fairly high, not like hilariously high, but he doesn't have a low voice. He sounds like Kermit the Frog. So he started
that's
to
another,
get memes of him. Again, he had memes spread around him about him looking like Kermit the Frog. I think there was like little videos of, you know, his voice in a lecture and Kermit the Frog speaking. And he owned it. Like he did, I think, which is the most appropriate thing. And he owned that, and he found it funny, and it went away really quick. Because when you resist these things, which is one of the most amazing things about these, when you resist any of these, it's like, it's the same thing as when I know, I was just going to say, it's the same thing as when you have an image on the internet, you don't want to be there. Like, you're a famous person, and you're like, being on stage with that weird image of her. And she's like, no, take it down, take it off the internet. The reverse is going to happen. The absolute reverse is going to happen. It's going to be shared, and everyone is going, everyone's going to see it.
That's,
and you want it not to be there, it will
right.
be.
Well, you got to remember, we need to remember that George Orwell was a socialist, very definitely a socialist. So he wasn't really against socialism when he wrote 1984. What he was against was Stalinism, and what he was trying to show, what he was trying to show readers was that socialism, if it is not very, very carefully controlled, socialism will evolve into Stalinism. And that, of course, is living hell. As Jordan Peterson would say,
he says he can't help but feel there are a lot of people who say, oh, look, he feels it's the most arrogant statement that anyone could make is that, oh, Stalinism wasn't real communism or Maoism wasn't real communism. And he says it's the most arrogant thing he's ever heard because it's essentially saying,
it's what their kind of communism evolves into if it's not very, very careful. Now, some countries in Europe, I will admit I'm not a socialist, but some countries in Europe, it seems like they have made socialism work and still maintain freedom and dignity for their people. That seems that way, and I hope it is that way. Maybe underneath it isn't. I don't know, but it seems that way. So I'm not going to damn socialism, a lot of our friends, yours and mine, are socialists, or they're leaning in that direction, and we're not going after them. We're not we're not rabid. But actually, this reaction has produced is a kind of an anti-socialistic anarchy movement. This is what chaos. Yeah, and one of the meme before Pepe was Guy Fawkes. Guy Fawkes was the meme before Pepe, and I'm expecting to see a green-faced Guy Fawkes meme pretty shortly. A combination of the two. But the Guy Fawkes people, that all came from Vendetta, which was a 1984 type film, a lot of the Kekistanis, and we're going to talk about that now, Kekistan and how that evolved. A lot of the Kekistanis, British and American, are actually they're socialists, but they just can't stand political correctness. They can't stand mind control. They can't stand, being taxed to death and being put out of work. And now
they certainly would count as being left of center. There's a lot of people who would traditionally have been associated with more of a socialist stance, like classic liberals and liberalism, like liberal progressivism, social progressivism, but maybe economically a little bit more left-leaning and liberal. And they find that they end up in the same camp as right-leaning people. Anyone who's sort of in the middle or the center or even a little bit further out finds that they're standing on an island that is getting... the waters of the left wing are receding out to this extreme, and where they previously thought they were wading in the shallows of left wingism, they find themselves on the shore of right wingism now, at least being declared as being right wing, and kind of the same in the extreme right wing too. I mean, right wing people
But the answer to that is never let us forget what Nazi really means. National Socialist Workers Party. So what's right wing and left wing when you think about it, really?
Ultimately, right and left, it's just government control, more government control in different ways than less government control.
And remember, Hitler was a was almost a communist, even though he hated the Russians, he hated the Bolsheviks. But he was very socialistic, and yet in order to gain power, he had to make a deal with the Junkers, and that has defined fascism. That's the definition of fascism is socialism in concert with the industrialists and they still retreat.
Someone described to me once that the difference between Nazism and Stalin communism was that Nazism was national socialism and Stalinism was international socialism. So there was the Nazism was this really nationalistic movement with this firm an attempt at identity at the German people, the German folk, and communism
That's what they said ever since Trotsky's time. But then Stalin ordered Trotsky chopped up, and he looted Eastern Europe and ripped the factories right out, and hauled them back to Russia, and so Stalin was very 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 nationalistic, and even though they still had the Communist International. However. Before we go so much time here. Let's talk about Kyrgyzstan but before we get into Kyrgyzstan, let me mention something. Kyrgyzstan has a predecessor in the 1950s. The Los Angeles Science Fiction Association, LASFAS, created a fake country and did everything the Kyrgyzstanis are doing today. And they called it Donovania, and they founded a thing called the Chesley Donovan Society, and this was a fake duchy in Europe. They invented this duchy in Europe, and Donovania, and the Donovania. They created their own language, and they had their own Grand Duchess. They went to a great deal of trouble to create this duchy. In this fictitious duchy in Europe, sort of a Graustark kind of a thing, and this Chesley Donovan Society, they were the night people against creeping meatballism. This was in the 1950s now, and this Kyrgyzstani. This Kyrgyzstan phenomenon really is very, very much like the Chesley Donovan Society. I just want to mention that. How did Kyrgyzstan came about and tell us about Kyrgyzstan and the Kyrgyzstanis. Are you up on that?
Yep. Well, Chabalay, my brother. Kyrgyzstan. I'm actually certain precisely when Kyrgyzstan became a thing, but it became a thing because identity politics was such an eminently trollable thing, an eminently something that they took themselves so seriously that it was, the more serious someone takes themselves, the easier it is to make fun of them. And Kyrgyzstan was this attempt to make a joke out of identity politics, and in many ways it does. I know the YouTuber Sargon of Akkad loves Kyrgyzstan, and if anyone wants to look up more Kyrgyzstani stuff, you'll inevitably stumble upon Sargon and his proselytizing about it. And it's essentially a way of creating a false minority, a way of creating a national identity which, if enough people. We know in England, for instance, it was a bit of a problem when they took a census many years ago and people started to identify their religion as Jedi. It got to the point that Jedi had to become an officially recognized religion. And so they're trying to do essentially the same thing with the national identity of Kyrgyzstan, so that anyone who self-identifies as a Kyrgyzstani, because for identity politics, all it takes is to say, I am X, I am a Kyrgyzstani, so thus, therefore, you are. And it's a deliberate mockery of identity politics by creating this false minority in the, well, around the world, but definitely
well,
in the United
started,
Kingdom.
Yeah, it's a satire. It's kind of a satire on Judaism, and I hate to say this, but what we're going to have pretty soon, and we're absolutely not going to write it. So don't get the idea we're going to write it, but we're going to see the protocols of the learned elders of Kekistan, and that's going to come around pretty soon. No, we will, because Kekistan is a satire on Judaism. It is, because it starts off in southern Egypt, way back in the pre-dynastic times. It starts off Kekistan in southern Egypt, and then they get hauled off Persia. They get captured and hauled off to Persia, and Sargon of Akkad takes pity on them and lets them return to their native home, and then they get for some reason or other they get put upon again, and they get run out, and they have a diaspora, and they spread out all over the world. Now, what does this remind you of? Obviously, so as I say, I expect that. I hope Pepe doesn't get accused of writing it, but we are left. I am expecting, the way this thing's going, to see the protocols of the learned elders of Kekistan before too much longer.
Well, there is I know that there's a short YouTube series on the history, the I believe they're called the Totally Real History of Kekistan, about their war with Normistan and the Kukistan.
Kekistan has a national anthem, this Italian song Chandelier, Chandelier was for some reason or other got a frog on the disc and with a wand. There's a frog on the disc with a wand. The band that played it was P-E-P-E-P-E, which is an anagram for something, I forget what. But anyway, as a synchronicity, got picked up and became the national anthem of Kekistan. And then the Kekistani flag, which many of us have seen, as I said, it looks like it came off of a Nazi U-boat, except it's green and black instead of red and black. But
it's an acronym for Point Emerging Probably Entering. That was, I believe, the name of the band, Pepe.
Yeah.
So,
well, we were going to try. We were going to try to find a good version of it and play it on the show tonight. Everybody that's interested, go and prowl around on the internet, and you'll find plenty of versions of Chandelier. But
If anyone wants to look up any of this stuff, it is literally frothing like bubbles on the top of the internet, like so many tadpole eggs.
I guarantee you can find it. Yeah, especially the Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson thing. I think they ought to. But the other thing, too, that I want to mention, though, with Kekistan is the send up on Simon Garfunkel's Sound of Silence. That should be that actually is better than Chandelier. And you definitely look that one up. This is Simon Garfunkel's folk song, Sound of Silence, and that tune we all know. And that is all the lyrics are anti-progressive,
It's the whole thing, all of this is designed as a kind of supreme mockery of anyone who takes themselves seriously. And for this ultra-progressivist movement, and some people, I know Sargon of Akkad again, says that they're regressive left. They've gone past the point of progression. They're now regressing. They take themselves so seriously. They're so preeminently mockable. This is, again, Pepe and Keck, like, it's like a personification of the god of endless, directionless laughter, laughing at anything, everything, all the time, even when it's appropriate, even when it's inappropriate, especially when it's inappropriate, that all things should be mocked all the time. That's not necessarily good. I mean, that's just, it's a release, it's a cathartic release these at the moment from this this intense force of control that seems to be trying to be exercised here.
Yeah. Another little thing I'll mention, another synchronicity or tangential tantrum, is that the Abraham Merritt wrote a novel back in 1911. I think it was published after World War One. It definitely was 1920s. Called The Moon Pool, and we did a show on decoding the moon pool, which people look up in the archives. But this is ancient Lemuria in a cavern under Nan Madol on the Pacific. And the most ancient Lemurians were the frog people, the Aka. And the frog people were obviously Merritt was a terrific folklorist and anthropologist, and he got these frog people, of course, from ancient Egypt. And Keck. So the ancient Lemurians have the Aka, the frog people, according to Merritt. And the interesting thing, because synchronicity here is that the moon pool, the villain in the moon pool, the villain on the surface, the human villain, is a Bolshevik scientist and a Bolshevik agent, and the supernatural villain is the dweller, is the supernatural interdimensional creature that is a replica of the Tree of Life. Yeah, of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, and it's a villain. It sucks souls, and here's this Moon Pool. Of course, it's a Hearst publication originally, and where William Randolph Hearst was, and Merritt worked for him for years. So that has something to do with it. But it fits into this. So we have Lemurian frog people, and. The only other thing I would like to mention is that on the astral internet, which we can access, Pepe.
It is. It's a lot like astral plane of its own. It really is.
We'll go on the astral internet now, and we'll watch, and we'll see Pepe and his face, and he's framed in a smaug. And he's wearing, he's got a smaug around, wrapped around his chin and a mouth. And he's holding up Katie Griffin's severed head. he's holding up Katie. Now you can see him now. You see him on the astral. You see his face is wrapped up in a smaug, and he's holding up. Kathy, by the hair, he's holding up Katie Griffin's severed head, and he's saying, "Sic semper corpi," and of course, immediately he's going to apologize, but that isn't going to do any good. Immediately he apologizes, as soon as the reaction comes in. He says, "Oh, I shouldn't have done this. I really shouldn't have done it. It was really bad." But that doesn't do any good because Spitzer will come out in the press conference and declare that the White House has renounced Pepe as a result of this. They fired Pepe. And so, but that's on the astral internet. Don't look for it on the real internet yet.
It may show up.
It may show up, but Pepe gets fired. However, Matt Fury killed Pepe off because Matt Fury was so upset with Pepe being misused. And If you look at the Old Boys Club version of Pepe, you can see that Matt, you kind of get the impression that Matt Fury was really that his heart would not be in where Pepe has gone. So Matt Fury tried to kill him off, but I think if Pepe if Pepe goes ahead going ahead and holding up Kathy Griffin's head, That'll get rid of Pepe, at least as far as the Trump people are concerned.
I think also a conversation about Pepe and Peck is not quite complete without the discussion of what is generally called meme magic, I think, which is particularly appropriate. The idea of these memes becoming so, I compare it to the, the old little mini conspiracy theories, kind of joking conspiracy theories, about the fact that the Simpsons were able to prophesy certain events, from the election of Donald Trump to 9/11 to the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, and many other things like that. People will be able to point back and say, oh my God, look, that's uncanny. That's uncanny. Look at that. It's almost like they're predicted or somehow steer us in the direction of it. I mean, that's the idea of meme magic, is this ability to evolve images
and very magical.
Create a magical zeitgeist of a kind through them as they sink into the minds of everyone, especially when they like create an emotional release, like laughter or something along those lines. That it's this magical spreading of images. It's like almost like a new form of talismanic magic in a way, if one wanted to be grand about it.
Absolutely, and Pepe is very, very magical. And as you notice, we've got the Pepe, we have the Pepe meme, and where he was saying, feel good, man, we've got good magic. We posted that on our Facebook and whatever. So that just about wraps us up. And next week, what did we say we were going to run next week? Next week we're going to have a real good one. We're going to have Ben Franklin's this is a conspiratorial thing from back in the days of the American Revolution. One of our founding fathers, Ben Franklin, belonged to a very raunchy club over in England called the Hellfire Club. So next week we're going back. You conspiracy buffs and we won't find Pepe, I don't think, there in the Hellfire Club, but I'm sure he'd be happy there. Anyway, we'll see you next week with the Hellfire Club. And meanwhile, like Pepe says, good magic.
Good magic.